We pick up on 54b, that is Nun Dalet Amud Bet. We had been discussing a comment yesterday, and we get back to it right now. Gufa Amar Rav Yoshua, Yoshua ben Levi. Rav Yoshua ben Levi says as follows: Ala Hektesh Rishon Mosif Kofesh Chomesh. What happens is, with regard, if something is sanctified for the first time, you add on a fifth. And then if something gets kind of substituted for that, if you have to redeem that second item, you don't add. Ala Hektesh Sheni and Mosif Chomesh. On the second sanctified item, you don't add on a fifth. So now, that is his statement. Amma Rava, and Rava says about that, my time at Rav Yoshua ben Levi, why does he say such a thing? Amma Krah, because the verse says, Im Hamaktush Yigael et Beto, if a person comes along and consecrates his house, will redeem his house, then he adds on one-fifth to onto it. What does that mean? Hamaktish v'lo hamatpis. That means with regard to the person that redeems it, but not with someone who connects it with that. If you say this item is sanctified like that house, you don't add on a fifth. It's only the actual house itself which would require a fifth added onto it, but not with someone who connects it to something that was holy. Okay, and as we mentioned, a similar kind of idea is with Tamura, where you come and you say about an animal, this animal is holy. You say about an Ola, that this animal, for example, is an Ola, and then you say, no, I want to swap the animal B for animal A. Actually, that doesn't work. Animal B becomes holy like animal A. The difference would be if you would somehow have to redeem the animal, if it got blemished or something like that, you'd have to add on a fifth to the animal A, but you wouldn't add on a fifth to the Tamura animal. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Tani Chada Kamei de Rabbi Lazar, the one Tana said in front of Rabbi Lazar, Im Bim Behema Hatamei Pode Be'erkacha. It says, if it's a non-kosh animal, then you redeem it according it to its valuation. So what does that mean? Ma Behema Tamei Miyuchedet Shikirato Hektesh Bukula Lo Shomayim Moilin Ba. So basically we say that a non-kosh animal is very special. Why? Because its beginning is in holiness. In other words, its initial consecration makes it completely holy. Obviously, you can't bring it up as an offering on the Beit HaMikdash because it's in the Beit HaMikdash, because it is not a kosher animal, so you can't bring it up as a korban. But what it means it's what's known as berek habayit, for the maintenance of the house. So you would sell it and then give that money to the Beit HaMikdash Kula Lashmaim. So the whole of it is designated towards heaven, and as opposed to other sacrifices, as we're going to see, a real sacrifice wouldn't be all to heaven. There are bits of it that's taken out to Moilin Ba, and if you misused this animal, you would be liable for Me'ila. Afkol Shkirato Hektesh V'Kula Lashmaim Moilin Ba. So too, surely all other animals, once you've consecrated them initially, and they are all for heaven, you would be liable for Me'ila if you misused it after that time period. So he says, well, the question is going to be, Amalei Rabbi Lazar Latana. So Rabbi Lazar says to the Tana, that works well. Bishlama Kulo Lo Shamayim. This comes along to say that something is totally towards heaven. Lamute Kodshim Kalim. That excludes Kodshim Kalim, the less holy offerings, because, for example, a Shlamim or something like that, whereby, or even could even be a Pesach offering as well, because of the fact that what? The fact is that there's a part of those that aren't designated to heaven because an owner gets a part of it. Bekran Itlay Lehu Labalim. The owner has a part of it as well, and therefore we say begaveu late boom illa, because the itlu balim begaveu, because the owners have a part in them, late boom illa, then there is no me'ila involved in those things. We say there's no me'ila for these items of kochim kalim beyond a certain point in time, obviously. Ela tigelato hektesh lumutamai. When you say the initial stage is to come along and to say the initial stage actually is holy, not necessarily That initial stage, what does it come along to? Excludes kele hektesh hud itbei mila. Is that to say that only when the initial stage is holy, then there is mila sof hektesh late bei mila, if there is another stage, if at the end of the hektesh process, then it is not subject to mila. Dima inen makomesh kamata. So maybe what must you be talking about? The last stage is what it comes along and affects what we've been talking about. There's the first stage, and then there's the second stage of it. If you try to connect it, are you just talking there there wouldn't be a extra chomesh added on? Not that it wouldn't be subject to mila, but there wouldn't be an extra fifth added on if you did misuse it. Is that what you Dilmal Inyan Chomesh Kamata? Is this what you're saying about that second stage with the extra chomesh, extra mount, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Amala in Haki Kamina. Yes, that is exactly what I meant. Once you talk about that, Amalei Rav Ashi, Ravina. So Rav Ashi then says to Ravina, "Behemet Maya, Tzilato Hektish Ita, Beemsa Hektish Leita." The question is, with a non-kosher animal, it says that it's got initial holiness, but the question is there no middle stage of consecration once you redeem it? Amalei, Efisha Ana B'Shof Hektish. You know, so because there is no ultimate consecration for it, it's not offered up onto the Beit HaMikdash, because it can't be used in offering, and it can't be itself be used to serve in the temple. So therefore, what do? You redeem it, and you give the value to it. So ultimately, it's not consecrated. The question is, in the middle, how do we look at it over there? So Amalei, Rav, because in the beginning it's totally consecrated, in the end it's not consecrated, but now the question is, how do we look at the middle? Amalei Rav Acha, Divti de Ravina. So Rav Acha of Divti says to Ravina, Beemsa Hektish Mia Ita. Why don't we say in the middle stage what we should say, that it is got holiness, velosif nami chomesh. We should say that you'd be liable to the extra fifth payment as well. Amalei, no, harayuk kusof hektish. No, it's like the end of hektish. That second stage, ma sof hektish eino mosif chomesh. No, the same way, a lost item in the line does not have to add a chomesh added onto it if you would misuse it. Af emsa kodesh eino mosif chomesh. So too, even in the intermediate stage, you would not have to add on a chomesh, any kind of penalty for ma'ila over there. So now that's, Rav Acha of Difti has one view, and Ravina says no, it could be the other way around. It could be you compare the beginning to the middle, like Rav Acha of Difti says, or as Ravina says, no, you compare the middle to the end, and the same way at the end there's no extra fifth, so to the middle. Right, so Amalei Rav Zutra Bray. De Rav Mari la Ravina, Rav Zutra, the son of Rav Mari, said to Ravina, he says, Ma chazit did amit lay la sof hektish. Why do you compare the intermediate stage to the last stage? Nidme did kilat hektish. Why don't you compare it to the initial stage and then say it has? You would add on the fifth. Amalei, mistabra la sof hektish. I compare the middle to the end. Why? It's logical. Havelei le dimue. I'm saying that because really is shekain nitpas benitpas. So what happens is you can learn something where we connect it to the other item. So it's here. It's something that you connect it to as well. So it's not the actual underlying item itself that is completely holy. You have to come along and deconsecrate it at a stage. So it's similar to swapping something out for something else. And that's why I compare it to the last stage as opposed to the initial. Arabah, no. Maybe we could go and look at it the opposite way around. Litzkila tektish havelei ledumei. You should have compared it to the initial stage of hektish. Shekain devar shiyesh bu acharav kedusha, but devar shiyesh acharav kedusha. No, it means that something where there is another stage after it, which is an intermediate stage, the same way as the item which has got the first thing would have the kedusha. There's another stage as well. So therefore, both of them have merit. Kedama Rava. So therefore, we go to a verse as Rava says, Ha'ola. Ola Rishona, when it says that you should bring the Ola up, it means the The olah has to be the first offering that you offer in the morning. The first offering that you offer is the tamid offering, and that's it. So also, it's the first thing that was dedicated on the altar as well. Okay, so that is that's Rashi brings both of those understandings. Means ha'olah, the first olah. Hakanami hatmaya. When we say hatmaya, tmaya rishona, we say that it is we compare the non-kosher animal to the first level of Kedusha, the first level of sanctification, and not any later. Tanik avate de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, also learned like the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, parazu, tachat para shohektesh, we say who's trying to swap one cow, this place in place of that cow, belonging to hektesh, talitzu, tachat talit shel hektesh, and this talit is swapped for that talit of hektesh. In this situation, it's not what we would call a tumura thing, because this cow obviously is a blemished one that was just given up to the Bedekabite. So what we say is this cow swaps out with that cow, that garment with that garment. It says that original consecrated property is redeemed. And it says Hekdesh or Padui Viad Hekdesh Aleliona, and the hand of the treasure of Hekdesh, he's got the upper hand. In other words, if it's more expensive, it belongs to the treasurer. If it's cheaper, the owner has to pay the difference. Parazu bechomesh salim tachat para shohektesh. But if you say this cow at five sela is in place of that cow, talit zu bechomesh salim tachat talit shohektesh, and you said this garment is worth five salim, instead of that garment which belongs to hektesh or paru, you have redeemed the hektesh ala hektesh rishon mosif chomesh, and what you have to do is pay the difference when you redeem the item that you have to do. Seemingly you've mentioned the initial amount, and you have to add on a fifth to that original amount, and it says ala hektesh shani and mosif chomesh, but on the second one you don't have to add on the chomesh. All right, so it seems that if you redeemed it directly, you'd have to add on the chomesh. Here, if you swap it out and you connect the one thing to the other, that second one becomes hektesh as well, but you don't have to. If you would go along and redeem the second item, you would not have to add on the fifth, which is exactly what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi as well says. You connect it to the initial stage of hektesh. All right, we move on to the next Mishnah, and even though it mentions Hona, it quickly moves away from Hona, and we're not really going to get back to Hona the different definitions of Hona really until tomorrow's daf. That is where we start getting back to Hona proper. In the meantime, we have a Mishnah which starts with Hona Arba Kesef. It says Hona is four silver ma from 24, which we mentioned was a sixth. So that parallels the first discussion about Hona that we had about a week ago. And when you claim in court that you for an oath to be taken, that's two ma. And it says vahoda shave pruta, and the small amount, for which a person admits that you have to take an oath that he has to owe at least a pruta. And now, once we're talking about a pruta, we take aside a bit of a tangent, and we say, listen, chamesh prutotain. There are five cases where pruta is a considered significant. Hauda shave pruta, as we mentioned, when you admit to part of you admit to something. If you admit at least a pruta's worth, then you have to take an oath that's known as a morde b'miktat. Isha mitkadeshit b'shave pruta, a woman is engaged, becomes betrothed through giving over an amount worth a pruta. That's the second of the cases. V'ne'ne b'shave pruta amena hektesh. If you mal, what happens is you commit me'ilah by using a hektesh worth of a consecrated, a pruta's worth of a consecrated item. V'oti hamoti shave pruta chayav l'chaveiro. And also, if you steal something away from someone, it has to be worth at least a pruta. Amotse, sorry, the That's the next case. I would say Shava Prutz. If you find something, it's got to be a Shava Prutz's worth. We dealt with that in the second chapter. Chayav Lachriz, you have to come along and announce it. Hagozel et Chavero. If you steal from your friend, Shava Prutz, the minimum amount is a Shava Prutz. Venishbalo, and then you swear about it. Yolchenu Acharav Afilu Namada. What you have to do is you have to you lied about it. You said you didn't take anything. What you have to do is schlep all the way to Madai and return it over there. You can't go along and return it just in the Beitin over there. You have to go and make that effort to schlep all the way to Madai. When this came up in Bava Kamma, we said that even Madai, where people are generally quite rich and the Shava Prutz wouldn't actually make much difference to them, still because you lied, you now get penalized for that. Okay, so we've seen, you know, the different thing. You have to admit. Admitting is a prutta, betrothal is a prutta, mila is a prutta, finding an item is at least worth a prutta, and lastly, robbing it, you have to go along and return it all the way to Madai for a prutta. Okay, now the Gemara says, Tanina Charizimna. Surely we've learned this once before. This was the Mishnah, as we said, just under a week ago, where we said, it was 6 days ago, where we said, how now? Arba kesef, me'esrim arba kesef lesela. We say it's 4 ma'ah from 24 ma'ah, which is a sela, which is 1/6. Shtut lemekach, it's 1/6 of the whole transaction. So sure, we've learned this before. And the Gemara says, yes, you're right, tatana, shtei kesef, voda, shava prutza, it's trichalei. No, really, we just taught that, by the way. The real kiddush for that is where a person, the small amount that you can come along and make a guy take an oath is where for 2 ma'ah, and the smallest amount that he has to admit is a prutta, and that's why he did it as well. So the Gemara says, v'hanamitinina, surely we've learned that in a Mishnah. This is the Mishnah in Shvot, where it says, Shvot Hadayanim, the time the a person has to take an oath, the judges force him to take an oath, Tana Shtei Kesef Vora Shava Prutta, exactly what we'd said, where the claim is 2 ma'ah, and the admission is at least a prutta. No, so then we move on down a Mishnah Sefer Itzriklei Tani Chamesh Prutotain. No, those were all introductory cases to say there are 5 times that a prutta is significant, and that is the Kiddush of our Mishnah. Right, so Chamesh Prutotain, there are 5 different times that a prutta is considered significant. Leiti Nami Ha'ona. Prutta, why doesn't also say the amount of ona is also a prutta? Amrav Kahana is also merit ein ona leprutot. Rav Kahana said no. This proves from here that there's no ona with regard to prutot. Okay, so as we mentioned, what we said sometimes there's got to be the actual amount that you claim, the extra amount over and above that has to be an amount over that. So if it's less than an issa, right, which is worth 8 prutot, if it's that small, that's not considered ona. Levi says no. No, even if you would say there is ona, even with regard to prutot, he says, V'chein tani Levi, and Levi taught his version of the Mishnah, which is Chamesh Prutotim. He has different ones. He says there are 5 different prutot. Ha'ona, pruta, when you deny, it is 1 pruta. Hoda, pruta, when you admit, it is 1 pruta. The Kedusha Esha Pruta, he agrees with the Kedusha Esha, with a pruta, it's got to be a minimum amount, the betrothal of a woman, gezel pruta, stealing is also with regard to pruta. Yeshivat had yeshivat ha'izanim, when you bring the judges together to judge a case, the pruta, it means that it's got to be at least 1 pruta as well. V'tani didan ma'atama lo k'tani yeshivat ha'izanim. Why does he include, for example, bring the judges together? He says tana lay gezel. He says gezel, we taught the case of robbery, which is all kind of cases like that, and it will imply that the judges come. So me Lo Tana Gezo Vagatani Aveda, but Dashuli teaches a case of stealing, and he also teaches a case of lost items, which you know, if you take them and don't announce them, that's like stealing. So he says, no, Gezo Goza Machavero Shava Pruta Nishba Lo Yuchenil Akarava Filu Namada. No. Case of robbery, you need to teach both cases. Robbery is not just one prutta is robbery, but it means that you rob and then you lie about stealing it from the guy. Then you have to go all the way to Mada, even though it's very far away. It's going to cost you a lot to get there, even though the value isn't so, you know, it will cost you more to get there, even though it exceeds the value of the item. When it comes to an Aveda, Hamotzi Aveda, Shava Prutta, Chayav Lakriz, Afogav, Dazal. So what happens is, even if you find lost property, if you find lost property, at least a prutta, you have to announce it, even though that it's now gone down in value and it's no longer worth a prutta. So those are the two. You'd have to mention both of those reasons. Both of the cases for those specific reasons. V'Levi. Now we bounce back to Levi. My time, Lord Tani, Aveda, Bapruta. Why didn't you teach the case of Aveda when with regard to a Pruta? He says no, Tana Namigezel. He says really that's like stealing, which is like all monetary claims that you've got against a person. If you don't return the lost item, it's like stealing it. But surely, Omi Katani. But surely he taught the case of stealing, and he also taught the case of gathering the judges together. So surely that's those also, you could subsume those within the category of stealing. No, Yushivatianim Ischikalai Lafuke Vidrav Katina. No, he needed to mention the case of gathering the judges together to exclude what Rav Katina says. Dam Rav Katina, Baitin, and Nizgakina, Philip Khot Mishava Pruta, Bait Rav Katina's view. He says the Baitin will get involved even in a case less than a Pruta. Anyone can come along and say, listen, we want to have a court case, even though it's a tiny sum. That's what Rav Katina says. The rabbis hold not. V'Levi, my tama, Orgatani Hector, Shana, the other omission of Levi, he says, you know, why doesn't he teach the case of Hector? B'chulin, Kamari, Kedoshim, Lo, La, Kamari. So he says, really, he teaches cases of non-holy property. He doesn't teach cases of holy items over there. But the Tana of our mission is the Kamari Kochim. He does teach a case of Kochim. He says Nitni Maase Bepruta. Why didn't he teach the case that that Maase Shani has to be at least a Pruta to be redeemed? No, command Amar and Chumsha Bepruta. No, he holds according to the one that says no, it's not the. The Maase Shani is only redeemed if the actual value of the Chumash is a Pruta. Remember, we'd had this a few days ago. We've said that there was a Machloket. Does the value of Maase Shani have to be a Pruta, or does the value of the Dishon amount have to be a Pruta, i.e. the Maase Shani would have to be worth four Prutot over there. Leiti Chumash Maase B'Pruta. And he says, so why don't you just say that Velitni, so why doesn't he just teach that Maase Shani is redeemed only for the one-fifth is equal to a Pruta? As a Kurian Kamari, B'chomesh Lo Kamari. No, he's only teaching the cases of the actual principle itself. He's not dealing with the cases of a fifth, and so that we answer over there. Anyway, Gufa, going back to what we'd said with Rav Katina, Am Rav Katina, Beit Din Nizkina, Filu Lepchot Mishava Pruta. Does Beit Din get involved even in cases with these paltry amounts less than a Pruta? Mativ Rava, Rava argues about that. Vetashe Chatat Mina Hektish Yishalem. He says, if you've taken from Hektesh, you have to come along and pay it back. You have to go along and pay it back. Surely, El Arabot Pachot Mishava Pruta Le Shavon, to come along and say, listen, you'd have to pay back to the Beit HaMikdash, even if you just used a tiny amount from something. Le Kodesh in Aval Lehejot Lav, the implication is that only to Hektesh, because it's so important, you'd have to give back this extra amount. But for an ordinary person, Hejot, what you wouldn't have to give back an additional amount if it's less than a pruta. So therefore, if Rav Ketina said something, this is what he said: "I'm Rav Ketina. Im husgu beitin la shave pruta." No, the beitin starts off on a court case that is worth a shava pruta, and a pruta's amount. Gomrin, I feel it caught me shava pruta. If the item depreciates in the meantime and it's no longer worth a shava pruta, the court case continues. It's kila tadien bin and pruta, gemardin law bin and pruta. So as long as it's worth a pruta at the beginning of the court case, even though it depreciates over the time of the court case, then we say it doesn't have to be worth a pruta at the end. Okay. And that's it. All right, there is a whole discussion exactly what the case is over here. It's seemingly if one of Rashi seems to explain that one of the claimants comes along and claims less than a pruta from the other, but the Ritva says no, that's it means where the item depreciates in value. I explained it like the Ritva. Okay. The next Mishnah comes along also. Once we're talking about the five, we said there are five prutot. Now we have another five case. Chamisha, chumshin, haim. There are five times where you have to add a chomesh onto something. As we mentioned yesterday's daf, we said that the chomesh that we're talking about over here is with regard to it's a fifth from the outside, what we call 25%. Ve'eluhain, what are these five cases? Ha'ochel truma, a person who inadvertently eats truma, you'd have to pay back the kohen from the chulin produce, trumat maaser, and also trumat maaser that you'd have to add on, which this is the levi. He separates the 10% from what he gets. He gets 10% as maaser rishon. He has to take 10% of his 10%, i.e. 1% of the whole item, and give that to the kohen. Trumat maaser shal demai, and also trumat maaser of demai, you add on a fifth of a chala v'bikurim, and also if you have chala or bikurim, in all of those cases, if you you would eat it or do something like that, you'd have to give back to the kohen who owned the produce. You'd have to mosef b'chomesh, you'd have to add on a fifth to that. Hapore neteravai, what happens if you've got your own first fruit and it's neteravai, it's the fourth fruit, fourth year of fruit, you're meant to bring it up to the Beit HaMikdash. If you redeem it, then you know umase shani shiro, and also your own umase shani, in all of those cases mosef chomesh, you have to add on an extra fifth as well. Haporet hikdasho mosef chamesh, if you redeem your own consecrated item, as we saw recently as well, you add on an extra fifth. Anene shava pruta min hikdash, and if you get benefit from a holy item, that what you have to do, mosef chamesh, at least a pruta's worth, you have to add on a fifth to repay the Beit HaMikdash for what you stole. Okay, and plus you'd have to bring an asham ilot, etc. But that we don't mention that right now. How goes el et kavero shavar pruta v'nishbalo? If you come along and you steal a pruta from someone else and you swear you don't have it, mosef chomesh, you'd also have to add on the extra fifth over there. So the first one, the first case was like a multiple case: truma, trumat maaser, truma, you know, of demai, ochala, and bikurim, really all connected to the gifts given to the kohen. That is all considered one case. All right. Gemara picks up. Amarava kashelei l'Ravalaza trumat maaser shadamai. We had this recently, I think it was on yesterday's daf, where we said, do you have to take off, add on the fifth for truma of demai? He says, and if you have to add on the truma of demai, yesterday we had the case where we're trying to prove do you have to add on an extra fifth or not? And he says, you know, you can you have to. He says for demai, we said that there's no payment of the fifth if you you know, redeem the maaser sheni from it. Anyway, so the question is with regard to now the Trumat Maser of the Mai. Okay, so now we have Trumat Maser of the Mai. We say, the whole point about the Mai is that you're unsure about what type of thing it is. You're not sure whether the item is actually holy or not, and therefore what do you do? So you have to treat it rabbinically, you have to take off certain tithes, etc. Now, seemingly you'd have to add on a fist to that, it means that you're treating it as if it is actual truma that you'd have to take off as well, you know, Trumat Masa, you have to treat as Trumat Masa, you'd have to take off and add on an extra fifth, the same as normal Trumat Masa, as if it was definite. But now, can the rabbis do that? He says, do the rabbis come along and make it as strong as the Torah? And I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Shmuel. Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel, says, hi, Mani, who is this like? He says, Rabbi Meir, this is Rabbi Meir's opinion. Dama, yes, the rabbis do come along and make their decrees as strong as the Torah. It says about the Tanya, and how do you know that? Because we know, we have learned, this was discussed in Gittin as well. If a person brings a get, a document of divorce from overseas, not new, Natano la, and he gives it to the woman, Velo Amar. It was written in front of me and signed in front of me. The woman gets remarried on that basis, even though he didn't say the formula that he was meant to say. Yotzi v'avilad mamzer. We force this woman to get divorced from her husband that she got after this get, and the child is, we say the child is mamzer. Div Rabbi Meir. That's what Rabbi Meir says. And now the question was, Chamim Rim, the rabbi say, listen, ain't avilad mamzer. You might force a woman to get divorced, but you can't come along and say the child is a mamzer. Kate Sadia says, so what do you say over there? Yitlenu Hemenu Vachazor Vietnenu Bifnei Shnaim. What happens is you have to take the get back and give it to her again. And this time you do it in front of two witnesses. Okay, Vinenla Bifnei Shnaim, two witnesses. Viomela Bifnei Niktav, Vinei Niktam. You come along and you say, this was given to me. And so it was signed and witnessed, you know, and it was written in front of me and signed in front of me. Okay, so that's what you should do. In that sense, the Rabbi Meir. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, Mishum Delo Amar Bifnai Nechtav Nai Nechtam Yotzi Vavlad Mamzer. Do we really go so far to say the child's a real Mamzer if you don't say it? Can you say such a thing? It says in, yeah, we do say such a thing. Rabbi Meir Latama, Rabbi Meir goes according to his reasoning. The Amar Rav Hamnuna Mishmei, the Ula Rav Hamnuna, the name of Ula says, Omar Haya, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, Kol Hamashuna Mirbaya She Tavu. Anyone who deviates from literally the coin you're going away from literally the coin that the rabbi stamped. In other words, the rabbis gave you a specific formula that you have to do, you have to follow. If you don't follow that formula, the rabbis have the power to say that you have not completed the divorce. And if you haven't completed the divorce, you are still married. And then if you go and get married to another man, it's nothing other than adultery, because you remain married to the first husband, because the get was not good. Once you still remain married to the first husband, if you go, think you've got a get and go marry, in inverted commas, a second husband, that is an illegal marriage. It's essentially adultery, and that's why the child is a mamzer. So Rabbi Meir says that is the reason. Because if you don't listen to the rabbis, then we abrogate any form of new marriage as well. Okay, we're gonna. It's a bit middle of the discussion over here, but we will stop there for the day and pick up with more discussions about this tomorrow. And as mentioned, we get back to Onah proper tomorrow as well, and that's it. We will finish all our discussions on Maaseh Sheni. In the meantime, everyone should have a great day.